Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to another episode of the Monday Morning Hangover Fantasy Football Podcast, brought to you by BackSportsPage.com. This is Mo, and I'm coming to you live with my co-host T, and of course, Cons. So, I reached the final week of fantasy, and I've gotten to the point where I could pretty much care less about fantasy altogether. Almost all of my teams got screwed. Couldn't have had much worse luck than I did. And I only have one team left, which happens to be my lowest entry fee of any league I played in. So, we'll still bring you this week's matchup information, of course. I'll be a little more hesitant in my analysis, so this episode is going to rely a lot more on T than me, and possibly even Const. Well, you know, as far as Const picks are concerned, don't really care about them either. might just skip them. I talked to Const before. We'll see. He might call in later. In the meantime, as we discuss, actually we got more time today just because there is no night game tonight, no more Thursday night games for the rest of the year. As we discuss, feel free to call in. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be taking calls 760-283-0846. Again, that's 760-283-0846, or you can inbox us on Facebook. As I said, actually, if you, I'm not going to have that much fun giving fantasy analysis tonight, so anyone out there wants a prank call, go right ahead. Add to the excitement of the show, just maybe spice it up a little bit. All right. Let's get going. As I said, no Thursday night game for the first time all year long. So we start on the 1 o'clock games on Sunday. We have the Broncos at Texans. Obviously, a guy that I own on one team, Noshon Moreno, 8 carries for 19 yards. Remember that trade I made 2 weeks ago? I thought it was a steal. Noshon and Wes Welker for Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, that worked out.
Yeah, that worked out. They got me a total of, 4 points in this game? Anyway. Even my Monty Ball did even worse. 3 for -1, both completely shut down. You know who else I had? Eric Decker and Demaryius Thomas, both held under 50 yards. For the first time in 8 weeks, I believe it was. And Decker, after having 2 monster weeks in a row, both did nothing.
When you say you got screwed, you just mean your team's better perform.
Oh, that's part of it. I mean, we have examples we'll get to later. I had Adrian Peterson on one team. He just randomly misses a week.
Injuries are part of it.
Of course. I mean, it's just unlucky. We'll get unlucky.
Plus, when you do 10 teams, you're basically going to have every player in the league.
Yeah, but I have some teams that have more than others. Either way, Welker, again, didn't practice yesterday again. Looks like Andre Caldwell will fill in for him one more time. He actually looked pretty good. He just looked exactly like Wes Welker. Just playing that slot role, caught 7 of his 10 targets. 59 yards, 2 touchdowns, and I mean that's pretty much it. You're starting him if he's healthy. You're starting Welker if he's healthy. Caldwell, probably not so much. Maybe in a desperation PPR league, if you own someone who did get hurt, flex spot potentially, like losing Ben Tate for the year. Dennis Johnson will be the starter. Does this mean anything? It's a decent matchup. Would you be starting Dennis Johnson over? In a PPO, would you start Dennis Johnson or Andre Caldwell if Wes Welker was out this week?
Andre Caldwell.
I mean, Johnson didn't look terrible. Well, it was the one, I guess, again, it was Jacksonville a few weeks ago until he ended up getting hurt, but.
I mean, here's the thing. If you're still playing this week, if you're still playing for something, you're either in the finals or semifinals of your league. I'm not going to rest my hopes on, championship hopes on Dennis Johnson. Andre Caldwell did it last week, so. You know, we know that he can do it. Dennis Johnson, we don't really know what he has.
I mean, I don't think either one of them, well, clearly neither one of them are proven, but I guess maybe in Denver's offense you can rely a little bit more on Caldwell. But also, Caldwell's not going to have this game again because you can't expect Eric Decker, Julius Thomas, and Demaryius Thomas to all go under 50 yards. So.
No, but here's what I like about Caldwell this week. Peyton Manning indoors, the Texans playing a dome. We all know that Peyton Manning is the best indoor quarterback in the league, and I just don't see, you know, a team that's playing for nothing like the Texans just shutting down the Broncos for the second week in a row. So
they will be playing not only with pride, but now you know, Peyton's counterpart.
How much pride could they possibly be playing for?
The only reason I say that is because Matt Schaub is playing to, I mean, potentially not win his job back, but
he's not going to win his job. The coach is gone. They're going to have the first
overall pick. Get a contract next year. Just he's playing for a spot next season. It's almost like another audition just to see if he has anything left. I don't think this affects really anyone on the team. If anything, it might even help Andre Johnson, who didn't do great last week. Let's move on. Vikings-Bengals. Jesus, Matt Asiata. 3 touchdowns. He had 30 carries and 51 yards, so it was pretty ineffective, as was the whole offense, except for Greg Jennings actually been decent over the past 3 weeks. Leads the team with 32 targets, 23 catches, almost 300 yards, and 2 touchdowns. That's with Matt Castle at quarterback, so perhaps they're establishing some sort of connection there. I still wouldn't rely on Greg Jennings. I know you asked me before if you would start Jennings over, who was it? Bobby Rainey?
Well,
I would still go with Rainey. Jennings is so inconsistent. This whole offense is so inconsistent. The Bengals actually have a pretty underrated defense, despite their injuries.
But last 3 weeks with Matt Castle as a quarterback, though, 32 targets, 23 catches, 294 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I mean, I'm probably going to go with Rainey. The only thing is, like, St. Louis is, well, we'll get the Rainey when we get there. But Jennings is definitely, I mean, I'd rather start Jennings over both guys we just mentioned in the last game, Dennis Johnson and Andre Caldwell. Right? I mean, Jennings has been a top wide receiver before.
Right. He's been so bad all year. It's just more a fluke than anything else. You could say the same. Are you going to think about starting Cordarrelle Patterson, too, just because he scored in each of the last 3 games?
No, but I think there might be a rapport with Jennings and Castle there that, I mean, you know, what I'm saying is we know Jennings is a good wide receiver. I think he's been harmed by the quarterback play all year. But if he has, you know, that relationship with Castle where he can, you know, be the go-to guy in Minnesota, then I think you could see another big. Like, I'm not saying to go pick up Jennings and start him over somebody, you know.
It looks like Peterson's coming back, so I don't know if it takes touches away from Jennings or opens the game
up
a little bit.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, if you're like, you know, in the one final I'm playing in this week, I have my flex. I rotate guys in and out. I rotate Riley Cooper, who's been terrible lately. Bobby Rainey, who, you know, is great against teams that he has a good matchup with, but then doesn't do well with teams that he has a bad matchup against, and the Rams are kind of right in the middle. And then I have Michael Crabtree, who's no more reliable than Greg Jennings. So, that, like, if you're in a situation like that, I don't mind, you know, picking up Greg Jennings and picking somebody and playing him.
It's just, I mean, if you're starting Greg Jennings in the finals of a league that I didn't make the playoffs in, that's just going to make my season even worse. Just completely squirting lemon into my open wound with that one.
I might just do it. Just
good matchup for the entire Bengals offense. I'm sick of talking about Ben Jarvis and what's his name, Bernard. So we'll just move on. AJ Green is pretty much the only guy I rely on in that offense.
Bernard's been pretty good lately.
Yeah, they're so inconsistent. I mean, whatever. If you've gone this far and that's your option, you don't have many other choices.
The PPR, I don't mind. Especially this week.
Browns at Jets. Jason Campbell actually threw for 564 yards and 4 touchdowns over the last 2 weeks. So he's one of the more effective third quarterbacks in the league. And I guess part of that is because, you know what? Here it is. Josh Gordon is the best player in the NFL right now. After Calvin dropped 2 of the easiest passes of his life, I'm putting Josh Gordon as the number one wide receiver in the NFL.
All right. Well, I'm gonna say something else too, and it's probably gonna say, well, if somebody starts Jason Campbell this week in a 2 quarterback league that I got eliminated with, it's gonna pour salt in my open wound.
Well, 2 quarterback league.
Yeah, I would start Jason Campbell in a 2 quarterback league this week. If you had Rodgers and Matt Flynn got hurt, or you're starting Carson Palmer or someone like that, I would start Jason Campbell this week. I think he could have a big week, and I think Josh Gordon's going to have a huge week.
Yeah, well, under that circumstance, it's understandable. If you're doing over Carson Palmer, who's injured and has been playing terribly lately. Plus, who's he playing against? He's played against Seattle. So,
right.
I mean, that wouldn't be bad. That'd be the right move.
Yeah, Jason Campbell is a viable starting option this week.
I don't disagree with that. And even Greg Little, as the number 2 receiver in Cleveland, goes against the Jets' defense, who given up 11 touchdowns to number two receivers, which is the most in the NFL. So he's I'd rather play him than Greg Jennings.
I wouldn't, only because here's why. I'll tell you why. Antonio Cromartie matches up with team's best wide receiver, which is obviously understandable, and I think Antonio Cromartie can match up with the most number one wide receivers in the league. I don't think he can match up with Josh Gordon one-on-one, and I think he'll, I think that the Browns are still going to be throwing to Josh Gordon and stuff like that.
So he's going to get his looks. I mean, either way, there's something to be said for that. Cromartie hasn't covered much of anybody this year.
He can only cover so, he can only do so much in that secondary. He's the only viable starting option in that secondary. I mean, when you go out and you sign Ed Reed, you're obviously pretty desperate.
Yeah. Jordan Cameron, just 3 catches for 23 yards against the Bears. Had him on one team. Ugh. Moving on, Saints Panthers. Drew Brees, actually, he did a good job against Carolina a few weeks ago. 313 yards, 4 touchdowns. But that was at home in the Superdome. We all know he's a different quarterback away from New Orleans. And also, even Colson had his best game of the year against that Carolina defense that's been really good all season long.
In New Orleans, huh?
Yeah, so this is Jimmy Graham last 25 yards. Have him on almost every team. As far as the Carolina's offense is concerned, pretty much the only guy you can rely on is Cam Newton. Anyone else? I mean, I don't think...
Greg Olson.
He's been all right.
He's been extremely consistent. He's been... If Greg Olson's on your team, you're most likely starting him. He's a top 10 tight end in the league. You asked me if you could rely on anybody. You could rely on him to put up a decent amount of points.
Right. Well, I guess. But he's also consistently not great.
What I'm saying is if Greg Olson's your tight end, you're not scouring the waiver wire to go, he's the exact kind of player you want if you're playing in the finals. He's going to put up, what he's projected to do.
I suppose it's better than having Jimmy Graham on your team only put up 25 yards. He did outscore him last week, so
yeah,
that does make sense. Hell of a time for him to have his second worst game of the season.
Hey, if this was the Monday night game last week, we were tied going in, and I had Greg and you had Jimmy Graham, who would have won?
Jimmy Graham steps up in prime time. This would have been a completely different scenario.
Yeah, Cam Newton got hurt last week too. I don't think you mentioned that, but. The coach said it was just a precautionary thing to take him out of the game. They're up pretty big, so,
he's going to play. Jonathan Stewart's going to be out again, which helps D'Angelo Tolbert. I don't think that matters.
I will say this, though. The Saints defense is a little on the radar. I am starting Phillip Rivers this week over Cam Newton. It's going to happen.
They're playing the Raiders. Well, yeah, I love Rivers' matchup, so it's not bad at all. Moving on, Dolphins-Bills. Ryan Tannehill has actually been pretty spectacular. In the last 3 games, over 25 points each of the last 3 games. Do you remember when I traded him away?
Yeah.
3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Looking decent. It also has a nice matchup here against Buffalo. Not so bad.
What do you want to tell you? Be smarter about who you trade away.
I think he's been awful all year. Fred Jackson, T.J. Spiller, both held below double-digit fantasy points each of the last 2 games. And, not great matchups, but just a mediocre one. So they just haven't been producing. Same with pretty much the whole Buffalo offense. There's not really any guy you want to be starting in this Buffalo offense, especially one of the wide receivers. That's pretty much it.
It's not too much not too many fantasy options in this game.
Yeah, all I would say, Daniel Thomas was limited in practice this week, so if he doesn't play, then if you held on to Lamar Miller this long, it's not a terrible play against a terrible Bills run defense.
I mean, they're both flex options. I would hope you have a better option, but Miller could get a decent amount of yards, and against the Bills, I kind of like Thomas to get in the end zone. Wouldn't you agree? I mean,
if
they're going to be
running
the ball against a bad defense,
Either one of them were to get in, I would say Thomas. But I wouldn't play either one of them unless one of them missed the game. And it's possible that Thomas does miss this week. That would help Lamar Miller. Buccaneers-Rams, another 1 o'clock game. Mike Glennon, bad matchup here against an underrated Rams defense. Look for other options. I mean, only if you're desperate in 2 quarterback league. Now, here we go with your boy Bobby Rainey. He's actually, I mean, he hasn't been that bad in his bad supposed bad matchups. 30 carries for 163 yards and 2 scores against Atlanta. I would say Atlanta's a great matchup for him. Same with Buffalo when he had another good game. But you know what I just what I take out of this? I mean, forget about Bobby Rainey and even Mike James. It's just, is it very possible now we can look back and just say that a big part of Doug Martin's struggles were on Josh Freeman?
Or that Doug Martin is not as good as we all think he is?
I mean, it's not, like, obviously, whatever. Greg Schiano's not.
You thought he was.
I mean, it wasn't just me. I mean, I thought the guy was good, but Greg Schiano is not a great NFL or even a good NFL coach, but, I mean, he did recruit Ray Rice. He saw something there. Like, maybe he's not the best at scouting running back talent, but you would think he wouldn't be this far. And Bobby Rainey, they signed him, 5 weeks ago? The Browns cut Bobby Rainey. And look at the Browns' backfield. Like, obviously, this guy was not that good. Now, this is the same Browns team who gave up on Bobby Rainey, and also I think maybe they know the running back better than we think because look what happened to Trent Richardson after they traded him away. I don't know. I guess it's such a hypothetical situation, but just look how much better this offense, and forget about it. I mean, maybe Josh Freeman's just that bad. Now he's not even starting over, I don't even know if he's hurt, over Matt Cass on Christian Ponder. That situation's more of a disaster than this one. But either way, I mean, Mike Glennon, he's been the best rookie quarterback, which isn't saying much. And it looks like they're going to stick with him unless something happens this draft, this offseason. I'm keeping Doug Martin in a three keeper league. I dropped Gronk. He got hurt. I didn't even think about it. I've been holding on to Doug Martin this entire season and preparing to keep him. So that's just I think he's going to be a lot better in this improved offense. And even Vincent Jackson got a lot better with Mike Glennon instead of Josh Freeman. So either way, are you starting anyone on the Rams? I went on a rant.
Zach Stacy, yeah.
Zach Stacy, yeah, that's pretty much it. Bucks defense is run defense has actually been pretty good. Their passing defense has been even better.
Yeah,
it's pretty much it. That's it, Jack.
It's worth noting that there's a great matchup for Vincent Jackson. The Rams have allowed 12 touchdowns, which is the most in the league against opposing number one wide receiver. So Vincent Jackson, who is a touchdown, you know, a guy that catches a lot of touchdowns anyway, should like his chances of getting in the end zone here.
Moving on, Colts Chiefs. That we were just talking about, Trent Richardson ran 19 times for 64 yards and added 4 catches. This is after Donald Brown, who just had 5 carries. He got hurt and left the game in the first quarter, so that gave Trent the opportunity to come through. It looks like I think Donald Brown's going to play this week. They don't have much information on it still. Check back later in the week. I guess that's the good thing about not having a Thursday night game. You don't have to worry about this stuff as much. If your other option is a Thursday night play. For the Chiefs, Alex Smith, look at this stat. This is awesome. 5 touchdowns last week, went for a combined total of 181 yards just in those touchdown plays. They were thrown for a grand total of 13 yards in the air.
Yeah, that's –
and the rest,
you know why?
Yeah.
You know why that happened? Because Jamaal Charles was such house last week.
Yeah, I didn't play against Jamaal Charles in any league last week. Just got completely destroyed.
I got to give you a compliment here. It's pretty impressive that you found a way to complain in every game we went over.
I want to hear something. In one league where I have Stafford and Calvin, where they played on Monday night, obviously. So going into Monday night without Stafford and Calvin, Jamaal Charles outscored the rest of my team before those two played. And he pretty much came pretty damn close because of how bad those two were on Monday night as well. Anyway, Jamaal Charles, what's to say about him? He's pretty much just cemented his MVP, fantasy MVP award with that game last week in such a big spot in the semifinals of a lot of leagues. You got to love the matchup here again. LeSean McCoy is the only running back I have ahead of him this week, but obviously you got to feel good about having Jamaal Charles. They're starting him.
He's
been great all year.
The Colts aren't very good on defense. So.
No, definitely not. Before we go on, again, phone number 760-283-8255. 0846.
T.Y. Hilton had a decent game last week, just something to know.
Yeah, it was just promising after what, four or five bad ones in a row.
Yeah. So how do you feel about the Colts, the Chiefs' defense? Just asking from a personal perspective.
In this matchup?
Yeah.
If you've stuck with them all season? Well, did you play them against Denver?
One of the weeks I did, yeah.
I mean, it's at Arrowhead, which obviously helps. I still like the Colts offense. I mean, what are your other options? There's...
I'm thinking about picking up Detroit against the Giants, because the Giants' offense has been dreadful. Detroit has a great defensive line, and Eli Manning loves throwing turnovers for interceptions.
Yeah, well, the Detroit secondary is their weakest point, and while their defensive line is pretty good, they don't have the best pass rush. So I don't know how much you're going to get. As we go through, hopefully we'll find.
Yeah, maybe I'm just being influenced by last week showing up with the Giants against Seattle. I don't know.
Either way, even this next game, with Titans at Jaguars, it's not a terrible team to pick up, the Titans defense.
I don't think the Titans are available. Yeah, but,
check it out.
Yeah.
It's just a nice matchup for Ryan Fitzpatrick, too, not just the defense. Jones-Drew didn't practice Wednesday. And Jordan Tomlin actually had a pretty nice game. It was against Buffalo, so take it for what it's worth. But this is also a decent matchup. Titans defense isn't the greatest. If you're starting them as a defense, you would just hope a turnover factor. Especially if Jones-Drew doesn't play, then you got to like them even more. And I thought this was pretty interesting. Outside of the Broncos, where the Broncos played the Titans, no receiver has scored in Tennessee since week two. So it says a lot about their pass defense. Pretty impressive there. Anything else about this game? Pretty boring from a real-life perspective.
Yeah, I wasn't really paying attention. I'm looking at defenses.
There's not. Even my co-host is falling asleep when talking about the Titans-Jaguars.
The top-rated defense right now is Buffalo. That's available. I'm not picking up Buffalo.
Who are they playing again? Did we go
Miami.
Over that? Yeah, I forgot that. I'd rather have Detroit.
Tampa Bay versus St. Louis wouldn't be that bad.
Is Detroit available? They're projected under that?
Yeah, they're projected at 9.22. Buffalo's at 10.8.
All right, whatever.
We'll get a lot of stacks. That's all.
Flip a coin. That's all that matters. All luck, remember. That's our good friend likes to say. Cowboys at Redskins. I love the matchup for both teams, especially, this is the second week in a row. Kirk Cousins, he was awesome against Atlanta defense. Now, two career starts, he's been really good, and now he goes against a Cowboys defense that just allowed four touchdowns to Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn of all people. So
tough to do, actually, when you think about it.
Yeah, it's really, really hard. That defense alone, they made Jordy Nelson, James Jones, and Jared Boykin relevant again, at least for the time being. So
Matt Flynn, who single-handedly got me eliminated from the league by putting up negative 3.5 points.
Yeah, but he's that bad. He really is terrible. He's been cut twice in the past two seasons. Seriously, you really, really got to consider Kirk Cousins a QB1 this week. You really do. He's got to be in the top 10.
Dude, you're saying it like it's
his third career start.
Yeah, but he's been awesome for the past,
two starts. It's only because it's the Cowboys. I wouldn't say that otherwise. But there's guys like Andrew Luck against the Chiefs. I would start Kirk Cousins over Andrew
Absolutely.
Luck. Absolutely. Rivers, who you started? Say you pick
all right. Here's who I'd rather start. Just real quick. Just count them: Peyton, Breeze, Cam, Philip Rivers, Romo. That's five, right?
Yeah.
I'm missing someone really.
Stafford.
Stafford, yes.
Rodgers, if he plays.
No. Well, yes, but he's not going to play.
Nick Foles against Chicago.
Yeah, probably. I'm missing Brady. I would probably start Brady against Baltimore. Brady still had a good game, even without Gronk.
I would consider starting against the Saints. I would probably play Cousins over Cam, even.
Who are we talking about? Who's Seattle playing?
Carson Palmer, no.
No, Russell Wilson.
Or Arizona.
Yeah, or Kaepernick.
Against the Falcons, yeah, maybe.
Either way, Cousins is a no doubt quarterback one for me. in 12 team leagues.
Cousins, Moe. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's,
possibly Roethlisberger.
Same with Romo. I love this matchup for Romo, and pretty much a must-win game for the Cowboys. And even it's good news for Pierre Garçon too. He was all right with Cousins. It was good with Cousins last week. 7 catches, 125 yards, and a touchdown. So they officially put Jordan Reed on IR this week. So down goes another tight end. Giants at Lions. Don't feel like talking about the entire Lions offense. You're pretty much only starting Bush, Stafford.
Wait, if we can go back, did you go over any of the stats favoring Alfred Morris this week? How bad the Cowboys defense has been?
I think everyone knows how bad the Cowboys defense is, just how horrific. It's not even...
Yeah, if I could just, you know, read the stats, because they're actually pretty impressive. 1,058 yards of rushing, 9 rushing touchdowns, 382 yards receiving, 5 receiving touchdowns, for a grand total of 1,440 total yards and 14 total touchdowns and the 2-point conversion in 7 games. That's 222 fantasy points in 7 games in non-PPR leagues. So if you can't catch it, it's even more. For a grand total of 32 fantasy points per game given up.
I mean, you could say, yeah, so it's a good thing you said the non-PPR stats, because they might as well, that's what they might as well be in regards to Alfred Morris.
He did, he had like a 40-yard catch last week, come on.
Yeah,
man.
But still, it's
like his fifth catch of the year.
It's just so weird.
But in all seriousness, I'm sorry to cut you off, but in all seriousness, Alfred Morris has a chance to catch 2 or 3 passes this week with Cousins as a quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's not, it's really not that terrible.
He has a better chance to catch a pass with Cousins as a quarterback than RG did.
Giants at Lions, as you said, moving on. I'm not talking about the entire Lions offense. I'm just done with that. Calvin Johnson, you're clearly starting him, Reggie Bush, and Stafford. That's it. Pettigrew looks like he might miss this game. For the Giants, it's actually not, it wouldn't be the worst thing. Eli Manning scored -3 points last week against Seattle, and obviously the Lions defense in Seattle, but whatever. The only thing I'd say, Lions defense is a nice matchup here. You're really not starting any Giants player. If Cruz does miss this game for whatever reason, Ruben Randall's not the worst wide receiver 3 flex play. He kind of just relies on touchdowns, but it's going to make it a lot easier if one of these guys is out of lineup. Cruz now hasn't scored in 10 straight.
If Cruz is out, I'd rather start Randall over Nix.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'd rather start Randall than... Well, I'd rather start a lot of people over Akeem Nix, who hasn't scored in 17 straight now.
It's pretty impressive when you think about that. But your top 2 receivers have not scored in the last 10 games, and one hasn't scored since last season.
Yeah, it's bad.
I'm going to try to do that.
See the Lions can win this one. At home, with their season again on the line. Cardinals at Seahawks. Carson Palmer, as I said, still facing that injured elbow going against Seattle. You're not playing him. You're really not starting anyone in this offense. The only one I would think about, it looks like Fitzgerald will play, but you got to hate his matchup against Richard Sherman. Nenhol scored in 3 straight. Just a bad matchup here, so you try to avoid him. The only thing, I mean, you're starting, they had a better option, like if Cousins was available, like we just talked about, I'd rather start Cousins over Wilson against this Arizona defense, so.
Yeah, I'd rather start Cousins over both guys in this.
Even Michael Floyd, now, 4 catches for 59 yards since getting hurt 2 weeks ago, so he's obviously playing on a hobbled ankle. Would you rather start, say Cruz misses this game, would you rather start Ruben Randall or Michael Floyd this game against Seattle?
Ruben Randall.
Yeah, that's the only reason I asked. I was hoping you said that. So I totally agree. That's it. Patriots-Ravens. Now, it's good news for Brady owners, even without Gronk. 2 for 364 yards and 2 touchdowns last week. This is without, with Shane Vereen pretty much doing nothing. It looked like he was being double-teamed by the Dolphins, and just 3 catches for 8 yards.
Dolphins went out to set to stop Shane Vereen, and they did. But I don't know if the Ravens are going to do that.
Ooh, Wheel of Fortune's on. We get to watch something else besides football on Thursday. Julian Edelman, this guy's still, you're obviously starting him this week, correct? He's been a top 5 receiver top five wide receiver in the past 4 weeks. This is after, you know, he put up a zero just 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, this could be the pickup of the year, actually. I literally picked him up the week before the playoffs started.
Yeah, which is unbelievable. He's been added and dropped so many more times than anybody this year. For the Ravens, you're pretty much trying to avoid everyone here, except, you know, if you have Ray Rice is another. He's done well with his favorable matchups throughout the season. So he's definitely taken advantage of them. And this is no exception against the Patriots. They haven't been good against the run, so just another one of those options. I'm trying to think of, you know, someone if you had Jones Drew or whatever the case may be. If you just had Ray Rice isn't the worst play here at all.
That is a good play here as well. He had the Ravens and Patriots played twice last year, and he had a touchdown in both and at least 50 yards in both games. So I would feel comfortable starting. I think Pitt is a top 10 tight end this week too.
The only thing, I mean, he had a nice matchup against the Lions last week. Not only did he not take advantage of, but he also didn't play every snap at tight end either. So
yeah, being able to play in the red zone and stuff like that.
There's more and more tight ends. It seems like getting hurt every week. So, I mean, obviously you don't have too many options, better options than Dennis Pitta there. Steelers at Packers. Le'Veon Bell, actually, he's been one of the more consistent running backs, and what I like, I love the matchup here for him. So you're starting Le'Veon if you have him, as you have been. Aaron Rodgers was back at practice, which is encouraging for fantasy owners and Green Bay Packers. So Mike McCarthy said when Neiman started tomorrow. Follow up on that. You're really not starting. I mean, this could really influence what people do with their Packers wide receivers as well. Because if Matt Flynn starts here against the Steelers, then I'm looking for other options. You know, someone, even if it's Jordy Nelson's the only one I would start if Matt Flynn were to be the starting quarterback.
What happened to Randall Cobb? He never came back, huh?
No, I guess I haven't even heard about him either. So I guess
he was eligible to come back week 15.
Yeah, I guess he must not even be close.
Yeah.
Because they haven't even said anything about him. I'm sure they're not going to rush him back. And, you know, Boykin actually he's been pretty good. So I guess there are no need to rush him back if they absolutely need him. That's pretty much it, right? I mean, these guys, all three of them had a decent game against the Cowboys, which we mentioned before.
No surprise, though, that the Cowboys kicked
on. Just check up on Rodgers. I'm assuming everyone that had him held on to him. I don't see why you would do anything different.
If I had to guess, he's not going to
do that. Yeah, probably not. But they look good in practice. So, I mean, it is taking until Friday, so at the very latest, you have to assume that he's going to play next week. Where, of course, there's some leagues that go to week 17. It's rare, but you know, that could be good for them. Anything else on this game?
Start the Pittsburgh wide receivers.
Start who?
The Pittsburgh wide receivers.
Yeah, they've all, you know, they've quietly been pretty good. Especially, even like, you know, even down to Jericho Cotchery, who would rather, I'd probably start over James Jones or Blake if Matt Flynn were to play. So that's a pretty good example. Raiders at Chargers. Rashad Jennings has been awesome, you know, before he gets hurt. In games he wasn't hurt. Two touchdowns in each of those last two games. He missed the week before last week. And double-digit fantasy points in six straight now. It's another decent matchup against the Chargers. Rashad Jennings has been pretty good. It looks like they might have to go with him moving forward unless they do something else. But McFadden's probably played his last game for Oakland. It's unbelievable how different their offense looks now from the start of the season, going from supposed to be Matt Flynn, and then down to Terrell Pryor, Darren McFadden, with what's his name, Homer and Denarius Moore, and now we're starting Matt McGloin, Rashad Jennings, Rod Streeter, and Andre Holmes. A lot of guys you've never heard of,
but a lot of guys that you should probably be starting this week too.
Yeah, they've been really good. I mean, even down to Andre Holmes. So it's not the worst matchup here. But honestly, and the big news here, how good has Ryan Matthews been in the past few weeks?
Yeah.
It's been awesome. It's crazy. It's another – I traded him away in your league, too. I mean, for DeMarco Murray, it's been good. But, I mean, Matthews, 29 carries, 100-plus yards and a touchdown in each of the last two games. And coming off a season-high 127 yards against the Broncos, double-digit fantasy points of in eight of his last 10, he's completely taken over for Woodhead, who just kind of like the Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Gio Bernard scenario. You know, they've kind of been neck and neck all year. This is, you know, we thought the same about this, and now Matthew's completely pulling away. Woodhead held below 50 yards, total yards in four of his last six games. So, I mean, Matthews is the guy. He stayed healthy. He's been awesome. He really has. He's catching pass out of the backfield, too. He's doing what the Chargers had hoped for when they took him in the first round, four or five years ago, whatever it was. And rookie Keenan Allen caught five passes the last 2 weeks, four of them touchdowns. Okay. Making use of his time. Decent. Anything else you want to cover in that game?
No, you're kind of starting everybody in this game. Everybody kind of has a good matchup, huh?
Yeah, it's true.
I'm trying to think. I would even start Woodhead in PPR, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I suppose. Depends if you're starting him over. Through my sheet, who'd you rather start, Woodhead or Steven Jackson against the 49ers?
Probably Woodhead.
Yeah, I mean,
I know Jackson's been scoring lately, but...
All right, that pretty much covers that. Prank callers, where are you? 760-283-0846. The Sunday night game, Bears at Eagles, and this is awesome for fantasy. This really is. It's going to be on Sunday night in the finals week. Two horrific defenses with, you know, emerging offenses. We have stud running backs. Now, you know, arguably two top 10 quarterbacks, and then just four wide receivers who are pretty much going to be playing on every single team. I mean, maybe Riley Cooper aside, but you know, Cutler looked decent. 265 yards, three touchdowns. Awesome matchup here. And now he has, you know, the emergence. Obviously, he's been there when he was playing, but Alshon Jeffrey is completely coming into his own now, scoring three straight. Perfect time for Cutler to come back. But this is, you got to think, I mean, Cutler and Marshall and Brandon Marshall have been playing together for so long. You think it's going to take away from Jeffrey a little bit? Maybe Jeffrey benefited a little bit more from having McCown at quarterback?
I love Brandon Marshall this week.
Yeah, I mean, I love them both. I love the entire offense. And how could you argue with that? Even Martellus Bennett, if you're in a deeper scenario, like, I'd rather start Bennett over Olsen, just because of the upside, just because of the matchup. With Cutler back, Bennett was a little bit better with Cutler at quarterback. So for Philly, this is interesting too. Nick Foles, the top fantasy quarterback over his last six games.
It's just that he has outscored Peyton Manning over the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, which is incredible. And he goes against, you know, probably, I don't even know the numbers on it, but I'm pretty sure Buffalo, I know Chicago is bottom three in fantasy defense. So this is almost as good of a matchup as playing against the Cowboys. So this is awesome. This is why I said earlier that I love LeSean McCoy, probably has the best matchup out of anyone this week. Any position.
Only 8 carries last week, though. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just more of a...
I guess they could throw all over.
Chicago cannot cover receiving running backs at all. So he's going to be great. It's just the consensus number one running back this week. And then, we also talked about him before. Riley Cooper hasn't scored in four straight now. Top 50 yards in just one of those games. Just way too inconsistent to start in the finals. I guess that's it. Zach Ertz has been coming on of late.
If you're, like, projected to lose by a lot of points, though, I don't think Riley Cooper is a bad...
No, just because it's a good matchup. He's just so wildly inconsistent.
Right, but when he does have a big game, he has a big game.
Yeah, and both these teams need to win this game, too, so it's not like they're going to let up.
Right.
Or give up, in any situation. Okay, do me a favor. Let's get Conte on the line. Get him ready to call up. He might not be ready just because we're going quicker than expected just because I'm I told you I quit fantasy football. I want this over with as soon as possible. We're actually ready at the Monday night game. So
Yeah, I told Cons to text him to call. We'll see how timely he is.
I know he's just sitting by the phone waiting for us to contact him. So we'll take our time now for the Falcons 49ers. Steven Jackson scored 2 times last week and now has 5 rushing touchdowns in the last 4 games. So good for him. I mean, he's worked himself back, and this offense hasn't been terrible. Roddy White's coming on at least 5 catches and 3 straight now, but the yardage isn't exactly there. This is a good one. Riley Cooper or Harry Douglas?
Oh, Riley Cooper.
That's Riley Cooper just because of the upside, just because of the matchup against Chicago.
It's not close, Riley Cooper.
We spoke about this earlier. Colin Kaepernick, great matchup for him against this defense that Kirk Cousins did look so great against. Cousins in his second career start, 380 yards and 3 touchdowns against the Falcons last week. So if you've ridden Kaepernick this long all year, I mean, it's definitely going to pay off in this finals matchup. Frank Gore, just 1 rushing touchdown since week 8, but you also got to love him playing against Atlanta.
You got to love everybody on San Fran in this matchup, no?
Yeah, even Crabtree, just because, I mean, he's playing every down for the 49ers, so that's promising, as he did score his first touchdown last week. Which, whatever, I mean, touchdowns are fluky. It's just good to see that he's healthy and with no setbacks. Vernon Davis now has 10 scores in his last 11 games. So the guy's just been unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's not – the targets aren't really there. He's averaging 5 targets in those 11 games.
He's not outscoring Jimmy, is he?
At this point, probably not. I mean, Jimmy is so far ahead. He's not dominating any games. He's scoring touchdowns, but –
No. Yeah, I'm going to look up the scoring in
Yeah, check it out. I mean, top of PPR, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I think if anything, that would favor Jimmy, no? I'm sure.
I think Jimmy was so far ahead of he was ahead of most wide receivers. Forget about all the tight end. I mean, he did have one bad match. Like, but Davis, he really hasn't had that one dominant week.
Yeah, he has. He had that one huge week. All right, hold on.
Any word from Const?
Yeah, he it's not even close. Never mind. Although Jimmy Graham has 27 more catches.
Oh, that's also part of his game.
Well, I'm saying a non-PPR. It's
if you can go, since you're on it, go look at Graham's week by week and just look at his yardage hasn't been there in the past few. I mean, granted, you got to give
he's
him
been terrible the past 4 weeks.
You got to
touchdowns.
You got to cut him. Yeah, you got to cut him somewhat of a break just because of the injury. We don't know how much that's bothering him.
Yeah, but he's been touchdown dependent.
Well,
okay, ready for this?
They've been limiting. I know he's been bad. They've been limiting his snaps. But
his last good game was against Atlanta. Was that the Thursday night game, right?
I remember.
Yeah. When he had 5 catches for 100 yards and a touchdown. The last 3 weeks besides that, he's had 42, 58, and 25.
Well, he had those 2 touchdowns last week, right?
2 weeks ago.
Or 2 weeks ago, whatever. I mean, still a good fantasy game.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's, again, hell of a time for him to have his second worst game of the year. Speaking of timing, we just got Const on. Const, I've just been complaining, absolutely miserable the entire time, just talking about how bad my fantasy teams are. Oh, shit. Huge bug just flew into the screen. Did you see that?
No, I did not. Gary
Tyler. What?
Go on.
You there? All right.
I'm done.
Everyone's heard enough. It's time for some useful, valuable information from Con. So, Con, go right ahead, man.
All right. I'm sorry that your fantasy seasons ended the way they did. You know, I'm sure, you know, there's some kind of bullshit involved, although you haven't filled me in on it yet, but that's for a later time. Anyway, we go on for the picks. Last week we went 3-3-1, you know, mediocre week, but I promise you this is going to be a 5-2 week, no questions asked. I'm extremely confident, and off we go. First pick, I like the Bills getting the 2.5 at home against the Miami Dolphins. Yeah, I know Miami's been on a roll since the whole incognito incident, But the Bills, it's going to be very windy up there in Ralph Wilson Stadium. And, you know, the Bills, they're going to play spoiler. You know, they got, you know, the pressure's going to be completely on the Dolphins. And I don't know. I just don't like Tannehill, you know, windy Ralph Wilson. I think the Bills are going to get it done. Take the Bills with the 2.5 points. All right. Game two. And Cowboys fans are going to hate me for this, but I love the Redskins getting the 2.5 at home against the Cowboys. Last week, just a catastrophic loss for the Cowboys. I don't see how they recover from it. Kirk Cousins was sensational last week in his debut start. I think they're going to score a lot of points on that horrific secondary, and I like the Redskins to win the game. They're just going to outscore Tony Romo because of how pathetic the Cowboys' defense is. And take the Redskins. They're going to win the game outright for sure. Pick number three, and, you know, you'd be a fool to not take this bet. I like the Seattle Seahawks laying the 10.5 at home against the Cardinals. I mean, at Seattle, what more needs to be said, to be perfectly honest? I mean, you know, Carson Palmer, he's going to have a tough time. You know, they never lose at home. You know, I expect them to win by probably close to 20 points. You know, I know the Cardinals are in the thick of the playoff race, but, you know, Seattle's just too good. They're going to outclass them. You know, take Seattle, lay the lumber. Pick number four, you know, a very big game, has playoff and seeding implications in the AFC. I like the New England Patriots getting 2.5 in Baltimore. I know Baltimore's playing extremely well. They got a win over Moe's Lions last week with a little help from the officials, to say the very least. But, you know, Tom Brady's going to rebound after losing last week. You know, whenever, you know, Tom Brady hasn't had a game this year where, you know, he's just – you know, going against this, I mean, other than the Broncos game, you know, I think this is going to be a signature win this season, and, you know, it's going to solidify their top two seed in the AFC. Take the Patriots, they're going to win the game in Baltimore. Pick number five, I like the Eagles, laying 3 against the Chicago Bears. I know the Bears, you know, they scored a lot of points with the return of Jay Cutler last week, but at home, the Eagles, the Bears' defense is horrific. I think LeSean McCoy is going to run for an easy 150 yards minimum. Nick Foles is going to play well. You know, the crowd's tonight game in Philadelphia, Jay Cutler. It seems whenever Jay Cutler plays on national TV, he does awful. So take the Eagles, lay the 3. All right, two more picks. Here we go. Kansas City, -7 against the Indianapolis Colts. You know I've been going against the Colts on the road all year long. I've been pretty successful for the most part. The Chiefs scored 50 points last week, and, you know, the Colts defense isn't exactly good, so I expect the Chiefs to, you know, really move the ball very easily. I expect the pass rush to get after Andrew Luck. I expect the Chiefs to easy win by double digits, you know. And, you know, believe it or not, they still have a shot at the division, you know. The Broncos are going to win this week. They play the Houston Texans, but, you know, I don't know who they play next week, but they'll still have a chance, technically, to win the division. So take the Chiefs by the 7 and the final pick. And I took this team, I believe, last time in the same matchup, but I think they're going to get revenge. I like the Panthers laying the 3 against the Saints. You know, I just think at home, you know, the Saints are a completely different team outside the dome. I think Cam's going to have, you know, a much better game than he did last time. You know, they know what they expect now from New Orleans since they already played them. You know, they'll make adjustments. I think they're going to get after Breeze, and I like the Panthers to win this game for sure. And, you know, they're going to solidify their playoff positioning, take the Panthers and lay the 3 points. And just to recap the picks, we got the Bills +2.5 over the Dolphins, the Redskins +2.5 over the Cowboys, Seattle -10.5 over the Cardinals, the Patriots +2.5 over the Ravens, Eagles -3 over the Bears, the Chiefs -7 over the Colts, and the Panthers -3 over the Saints. Get those bets in. You know, it's going to be 5-2 week. That's all I have to say. Mo, you want to take it away?
Yeah. Tons, what are your fantasy teams? How'd you do this week?
I scored 200 points in the final last week, so I won my one league, and the other league I didn't make the playoffs, but we had a very good team, you know, just bad luck.
All right. Well, at least you won one league.
So right? I'm a one out of two champion, you know?
Why'd you guys finish so early?
Excuse me?
Why'd you guys finish so early?
Well, the CBS, it's a CBS league, so the playoffs actually start 1 week earlier.
No, I guess it's just the setting that your commissioner put on there.
Yeah, well, you can
still not connect to that. Hey, Kant, now that, you know, as an owner of a disgruntled fantasy owner, and
yeah.
even more upset Lions fan. Football season, now that football season's over officially, what do you think about
the Lions upset the division, no?
Yeah, nah, whatever. I mean, they're just going to lose and Jim Schwartz is gone. But either way, it's kind
of... Yeah, forget it. It's over.
It's baseball season. How do you like the moves that the Mets have made?
Well, I mean, I know this is a football show, but, you know, Bartolo Colon is in a big ballpark. I know he killed it in the first half last year, then he started to wear down. As long as he's on the juice and he doesn't get caught, I think he should be fine. And Granderson... It's going to be an adjustment going into, you know, Yankee Stadium, but he was also a Tiger at one time. He played in a big ballpark there, so, you know, whatever. They needed a major league competent outfielder, to say the very least, so they got one. Overpaid, but whatever. No big deal.
Yeah, whatever.
You know?
It wasn't a huge contract. It wasn't.
I mean, you know, you got to pay a lot. Look what B.J. Upton got.
Yeah, that's true.
What's my record? Did you update my record with the 3-3-1?
Nah, I didn't do anything this week. I sulked in my misery. That's pretty much it.
I think it's somewhere around 50-30.
I can look it up. I'll get it next week. But everyone knows how good you've been, Comp. Don't worry about it.
No. All right. Damn straight.
We got it on file.
So next week is our last show, huh?
That's what it's shaping out to be.
I think we got to do one more encore.
We definitely got to do awards, stuff like that. We'll see how the rest of the season goes. And we'll actually, we do have behind the scenes, we have a baseball, fantasy baseball podcast in discussion. So we'll keep everyone updated on that. But that's pretty much it. Cons, appreciate you calling in. Well, that's it. That's all the time we have today. We really, no Thursday night game, so there's not even anything on TV. I don't know what the hell we're going to do with Wheel of Fortune. Home Alone marathons. That's pretty sweet. Home Alone's been on so much the past few weeks, so at least been on, we can definitely put that on. Yeah, there it is. To watch Daniel Stern is so much better than watching Peyton Manning. Well, anyway, that's it for today. This is Mo for T&Con, Monday Morning Hangover. Thanks for listening, and best of luck in the finals this weekend. Take it to the house. We don't play, we take it to the house. M.I.A., take it to the house. The way we take it to the house. Take it to the house.